Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you things to think about. And very interesting things to think about today. Today we want to talk about... Well, I want to talk about psychology. I remember my first psych class. When I went to school, I'm sure many of you had this experience. Today you're going to study psych in college. And you walk in, and you're ready to learn how to analyze your boyfriend or girlfriend. And the teacher wants to talk to you about the science of taste and smell and vision and how it works in the visual cortex. And you say, well, what does that have to do with psychology? Well, you see, it's about the human mind. And it's important stuff. So today, I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects in the whole world, which is your smeller. Yes, your nose. I want to talk more facts that we have learned about smell and some of this stuff, my friends. It is just going to make you... It's just going to be amazing. It's just amazing. Just amazing. More and more, I find that it's, here we go. More and more we find out that people can have a better relationship with each other if they understand themselves better. There are certain toxic effects of smell. There are certain things, like, for example, did you know that in waiting rooms, entry halls, and other areas where you want to put people at ease, consider naturally fragrant wood furniture, such as cedar or cypress, clove balls or potpourri, that it naturally, natural objects like pine needles or pine cones, potted miniature pine trees, a bowl of apples, oils. Did you ever see a bowl of apples in a restaurant when you're walking out of a restaurant? It's a beautiful thing. But there's something about the smell, lavender, so on and so forth. It helps people relax. Hospitals in particular should work to rid waiting areas of that unique hospital smell. But that smell affects people. Wherever is possible, you know, it is good to have as many smells around that people like that they could apply, that, you know, they really enjoy having. So we're going to talk about your smells today, and I'm going to teach you things about smells that you just can't believe. For example, in every country, people have a different sense of smell. In Germany, for example, the favorite smell is pine. They love pine smells. Christine is listening. She's a piner. In France, they like floral smells. Little wonder, right? The Japanese like delicate smells, very delicate, very light fragrances. The North Americans like strong smells. Forte, make me smell it. The South Americans like even stronger smells. Venezuelan floor cleaners contain a pine odor that is 10 times stronger than that of the floor cleaners used in the United States. If you're ever around Venezuela when they're cleaning a floor, if you're not used to it, you feel like you're going to get gassed out of there, you know, because it's so strong. So, smells, you know, if you want to block off smells, let's say you can't stand a smell, you don't have to block most nostrils. You know, if you block your right nostril, you can't smell most things just by blocking one nostril. Isn't that great fun? So we're going to learn more, and we learn things about people. We learned about you. We learned, for example, that your smell preference can either be learned or it could be inherited. Now, a learned smell would be a smell that's kind of like an association. Like when your mother cooked vanilla cake. Your mother cooked vanilla cake? When your mother made vanilla cake, or the smell of vanilla in cooking, it generally, she only made it when she felt good. And that generally she didn't cook or didn't make sweets or didn't make cake when she didn't feel good. Well, if your mother baked when she felt good, and then didn't bake when she didn't feel good, you might associate the baking smell with a good feeling because Mama felt good. Think about your own life. Here's the question I'm going to ask you early in the program, because we're going to take a survey. We're going to do a survey. If you're near email, this is for you. If you're near a computer of any kind, I'm asking you to send me the following information: your three favorite smells and your three worst smells. I sat around a group of people, and I had with me a young couple who had just met each other a short while ago. They got married. And when they were talking about their worst smell, the smell they both hate, well, you know, what do you expect they're going to come up with? I hate the smell of horse manure. I hate the smell of... No, you know what they said? One of them said, I hate the smell of peanut butter. Well, that was an unusual thing to hate. But then the amazing thing was her new husband said, well, that's funny, I hate the smell of peanut butter. So the two of them, on some level, chose each other because they both hate the smell of peanut butter. Now, you may not think that they selected for that, but I'll bet you there's something organic going on that made them... Because where else would you find two people who hate the smell of peanut butter? When I say hate the smell... If I smell peanut butter, she said, it makes me sick. And he turned around and he said, it makes me sick if I smell it. Well, the two of them have never had to challenge it because they have no peanut butter in the house. Do you understand? Neither one of them ever bought it. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's Positive Mind. It's far more fascinating than you think. Do you know that your smell preference is passed on through your father's genes, not through your mother's genes? Your mom, she could wash her jeans. They don't have much of a meaning when it comes to smell. Dad's genes carry the smell preference. But now, about smell preference, it doesn't mean what you like. It doesn't mean you like to smell the things your father like to smell. It means that your genes are going to respond to whatever his genes were. For example, if you are smelling a person... If each person gives off a smell, it's called a pheromone. The pheromone is the odor we each give off. When you're choosing someone to get close to, you generally do it with a high percentage of the stuff on smell. They smell right to you. If they smell wrong, you can't imagine spending a life with them. You really can't. So if they smell right, now, what does it mean? Since everybody smells things differently, no two people have the same smell signature. Do you understand this? You smell a rose. The next person who smells that rose smells it differently than you do. No two people smell the same rose alike. There are so many differences. There are hundreds of thousands of variations in the molecules of the volatile substance and how it affects you. Volatile substance means a vapor, something in the air that's going to change as it moves along and has its smell, like perfume, you know. So when two people smell something, so if you smell a person, they smell one way to you. If another person smells the same person, they don't smell necessarily the same way, unless they have some kind of pungent, really strong odor. Like garlicky, you know? I'm sure you don't just think about it. You know, a vampire smells a garlicky person one way, whereas a Sicilian will smell them a different way, right? One says, hey, that's family. The other one says, oof, watch out. Armand Mill with you. I'm serious about this stuff. Remember, email me. So you can email me, armand@thepositivemind.com. And we're taking a survey, your three best smells, your three worst smells. We'll take some phone calls later also. More about smell. Now, about smell, if your father passed on your genetic message of smell, what is it that you smell? Do you think you want to find somebody who smells just like Dad, who has the same smell as Dad? If your dad liked vanilla cake, do you think you're going to have... No. Do you think do you want somebody who smells like your father? The answer is no. You want someone who neither smells like your father or the opposite of your father. You want someone who smells in between. I want you to think of somebody you love. have been close to, somebody you sniffed. And if you remember their smell, compare that smell to your family. It's never going to be similar to the family, because the genetic rule is we don't want you to be making love to somebody who's got the same genetic imprint as you, because we will be genetic inbreeding, and that'll make for distorted babies. We don't want that. We want you to find somebody who's going to strengthen your immune system by being different, but not so different that you can't get along with them, that your genes and their genes can't get along. So you want to be signed somebody in the middle. So the newest research is it's going to be the middle-of-the-road smeller, somebody who smells a little like Dad, but not completely like Dad. You know, if your mother smelled like a particular thing when you were being born, when you were in utero, you wind up having that kind of preference. Like if she smells like smoke, if your mother smoked, when you grow up, you have a preference for the smell of smoke, more likely to smoke. If she drank, there's a tendency to want the smell of alcohol. You know, if there were a number of different smells that Mom carried with her all the time, while you're in utero, you wind up with a preference for those smells. The nose, the smeller, develops at 3 months in utero. 6 months before you're born, your nose begins to work, and you smell things. Isn't that amazing? All right, lots more stuff here, my friends. Remember, you're going to send me Armand at thepositivemind.com. So now this is really very, very, the next information I give you is just amazing. Bit of research comes out of, Psychological Science, September 2005. Dr. Yevil Martins and George Crabtree and Carol Wysocki. They did this. Human body order may contribute to selecting a partner, but now it gets even deeper. And this one is a shocker. This has to do with, let me see, here it is. Okay. They studied sexual preferences. And this is fascinating. They studied heterosexual men, heterosexual women, lesbian women, and gay men. And they tested them for the preference of odors. And what did they use? Did they use T-shirts? Smell. No. What did they use here for the smells? I think they did use some kind of T-shirt worn or something like that. Okay. Intensely and pleasantly. Here's what the study found. Here it is. So they asked heterosexual men, heterosexual women, lesbian women, and gay men what they preferred in smells. And here's it with each other. Heterosexual men and heterosexual women preferred the odors from heterosexual men over the odors of gay men. Get this, it was very clear. Very clear. Heterosexual men, heterosexual women, when smelling the odors of somebody, they preferred the odor of heterosexual men or women over over gay men. Okay, that makes sense. We could somehow in our mind say, well, okay. Does that mean gay men smell different? Obviously. Here comes a little more. But this part gets fascinating. Lesbian women preferred the odor of heterosexual men and heterosexual women over gay men. Heterosexual men over gay men. Lesbian women prefer the smell of heterosexual men over gay men. Very interesting, getting a little deeper. Gay men preferred the odor from gay men over heterosexual men. So a gay man prefers the smell of a gay man over a heterosexual man. Heterosexual women, lesbian women over age 25, preferred the odors of lesbian women over gay men. So I'm going to say it again for you. Heterosexual men preferred the odor of a lesbian woman over the odor of a gay man. Lesbian women preferred the odor of a lesbian woman over a gay man. Heterosexual women preferred the odor of a lesbian woman over a gay man. It's saying something about what's in the genes there, my friends, and who gets into them. Gay men preferred gay men over lesbian women. The smell of... makes sense. Gay men, lesbian women, heterosexual women preferred heterosexual women over lesbian women. Gay men didn't like the smell of lesbian women. Lesbian women did not like the smell of gay men. Period. I mean, this just... those were the most oppositional. Heterosexual men did not prefer heterosexual women over lesbian women in comparison. So the heterosexual men, when put up against lesbian women's smells and heterosexual women's smells, they did not show a preference. It was like 50-50. And lastly, gay men preferred odors from heterosexual women over those from heterosexual men. Very important. Participants also ranked the pleasantness of these odors, and I tell you, there are a lot of questions about the study, but it's really kind of amazing. First, it's clear that gay males, as odor evaluators, are strikingly different from heterosexual males and females and lesbians. They prefer the odor of gay males and heterosexual females in each of the forced choice preference tests. Now, given the fact that most hormonal theories of sexual orientation are inversion theories, that they're saying, you know, gay men's brains are feminized, then this could support the idea that somehow there's a mixture. One would expect bisexual men to be attracted to both gay men and straight women, but not exclusively gay men. Not true. Okay. So, if you want to do more on this research, send me an email. It's by Warren Throckmorton. With a name like Throckmorton, what do you think you're going to be studying? Throckmorton, Ph.D. Very fascinating stuff, don't you think? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Hope I haven't offended anybody. It is a fascinating, fascinating bit of research that you could have your sexual preference actually manifesting in your odor preference. What about your odor preference? What is it? What is this smell that you hate the most in the world? Is it learned, do you think, or is it genetic? If it's genetic, let me give you an example of this. If it's a genetic, then somebody from the northern hemisphere, very northern, like let's say you're from Antarctica. No, from Arctica. Let's say you're from as far north as you could get, right? And then you meet somebody from deep South America or deep Africa. They should be genetically oppositional to you, the opposite, and you should be somewhat not as attracted as if you met somebody from Middle Europe who might be somewhere in between, right? And it might say that if you were from, let's say you were from Greenland or Norway, you might find Italians more attractive than South Africans because of the genetic makeup. You might not find other Norwegians as attractive. Now, I'm sure it goes much deeper than that. It breaks down quite a bit. But something is saying here that, you know, what about the people you're in love with? Let's ask that question. How do you identify their smell? How do you identify your own smell? Smell is such a fascinating thing. A woman's preference, a woman's a sense of smell is so much more than a man's. You know, she was meant to be born with this sense of smell because she's got to protect the babies, right? She's got to be able to smell things going wrong. Do you know that your nose, that your smeller is directional? That if I were to put something in a room that would smell on your right-hand side, without turning your head, you would know it's on your right by your smell. Your smeller can actually give you direction. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? Women smell much more than men. Women, at certain parts of their hormonal cycle, will have a different smell than at other times of their hormonal cycle. Their peak time when they are the most sensitive to smell is right when they are the most fertile. When a woman is the most fertile, she can smell the most sharp. You know? Different than men. But there are certain conditions, there are certain illnesses, I don't know which one it is, I think it's liver damage, where you become hypernosmia. What is hypernosmia? Hypernosmia is where you begin to smell things that you smell everything. You begin to smell things that are happening everywhere. Here's a few cute words. Anosmia is a person who has the absence of smell. Anosmia. Cacosmia, sounds like I'm speaking Italian. Hey, he's got a cacosmia. I'm Italian, so I can make these jokes. Is distorted sense of smell, cacosmia. He's cacosmic. He's got a distorted, you know, I gave him lasagna, and he thought it was tulips. You know, that's cacosmia. Who would think anything is tulips? They don't smell. Heterosmia. Now, that's, everything smells the same. You know, you can't tell one from the other. Hypersomnia is the impairment. Hyposmia, I'm sorry, is the impairment of smell. Impairment. Hypernosmia is too much smell. That's that condition I was talking about. You just smell too much stuff. Phantosmia is fascinating because you actually smell something in your nose that doesn't exist in the material world. At the moment. Maybe it's memory. But it occurs only in the nose, phantosmia. All right? So, is Armand DeMille with you? It's a positive mind. We're talking about smell. Why are we talking about smell? Because when we hear from you, you're going to be shocked at what people say. Because I found out things, you know? When you are, when in the study of smell, they call this odor hedonic things. There's a long debate over whether it was learned or inherited. Remember, the learned is associated with past behavior, and the inherited means that you inherited this sense of smell. But when you're a baby, you don't have the same smeller as your mother and father. So if it's inherited, maybe it changes. But when you're a baby, infants and babies up to, I think, 6 months. Is 6 months 2 years? What was it? Toddlers around there, you know, they don't have the same sense of smell. Something that may be horrible to you is not horrible to them. Something that may be wonderful smell to you is not wonderful to them. So maybe it is learned, or maybe it's a combination of both. Humans can recognize about 10,000 different odors. And, you know, when you wake up in the morning, the least smell you have, the least one, is in the morning. You have a very insensitive nose. I think that's very kind to couples with bad breath. You know what I mean? You wake up, you roll over, you kiss your honey, your mouth smells like a trench, and you don't really, you don't smell it, right? Because it's morning. Evening, though, brush your teeth before you go to bed. Evening is a very sensitive time. Dogs live by smell. You know, I mean, they have their nose is 200 times more sensitive than ours. If you wonder what a dog is doing with their sniffer, if you ever smelled what a dog smells, you would probably go crazy. It would be too much information for the human brain. They are amazing, amazing, the amount of stuff that they carry. So let's see now, your three favorite smells and your three most horrible smells. That's the question we're asking. And the reason I'm asking you today is because we are coming up, believe it or not, starting next week, to our WBAI Winter Fund Drive, which where we raise money by your support of this station, which I'm going to beg you to do. I'm going to be in the what we call our Begathon, and we don't mind doing it. I love this station. Michael G. Haskin has been saying it's a fantastic radio station. It is a fantastic radio station. Nothing like it. 1960 started here where the Vietnam War was going on and raging, and a voice stood up and said no. And from that point on, they've been saying no to injustice. and they've been fighting every decent cause there is. We were the beginning of natural health. You know, we were at the forefront of it. It's just an amazing station. Need your support starting next week. On Tuesday, I'm going to be doing a two-hour program. I'll be with you from 1 to 3 p.m., and that program is going to be about relationships. I'm going to bring you some unique information about relationships and offering you a premium, which is a thing you could get, which is about relationships, which will be very helpful. I'll also be announcing our theater event, which we'll be doing, which will be happening at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. So, you know, be sure to tune in Tuesday and Wednesday both. Wednesday from 1 to 3. Again, they'll be both. Both programs will be on. I will not be with you next Thursday in case you're just a Thursday listener. So you'll have to just get the Tuesday and Wednesday program on the internet. So our telephone number here, well, we're going to take the telephone number, the telephone calls after the break. We're going to play you a little break. I have to find you something related to smell, don't I? Huh. I bet I did. I did already. Oh, and there's a whole bunch of emails coming in. So we have that happening. We have this happening. We have a lot of things happening. I tell you, I think the only thing to do is to take a small station identification break. And then when we come back, we'll be taking your phone calls and we'll be referring to your emails while I'm playing the music. I'm going to do a correlate on your emails and see what do you think it is that people love the smell of and hate the smell of. So I will be back with you in just a couple of minutes, my friends. This is Armand DeMille. Back with you shortly. I had to search for a smell. And someone had shut off these switches here. And when I searched for smell, I looked on the internet and I said, you know, there's very little music about smell. I can't think of music about smell. And I was thinking about, you know, maybe I put a smell on you. You know, I was trying to say, what kind of music is it? Well, if you plug in the word smell in any word, in any music finder, believe it or not, there's a huge number of songs about smell. There are things like, it smells just like a teenager. And there's Smells Like a Tuna by Geek. And then there's a whole bunch of other things of I Love Your Smell. The smell of romance, the smell of desire. Yes, there's many more. I think we have to make a collection of music about smells. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. And we're going to take your calls. 212-209-2900 is the number here. Let's take one of your calls, and then we'll be going to the survey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. It's Dan from New York.
Yes, Dan.
Yeah, I had a quick question, or maybe it's just a point, but how does, like, actual perfume actually cover up the odor of the natural pheromones? Doghouse, what, 92.3 Free FM?
Yes, well, it does quite a bit of stuff, you know? I mean, it does he's off the air, he was making a comment. But, you know, perfume is kind of interesting because they take the perfume to actually go along with the pheromones. Sometimes they imitate the pheromones. Sometimes they just, in a way, complement the pheromones. They're very sensitive, the perfume makers. In fact, you could go to a website called thesenseofsmell.com.org and look at all this information about smell, which is kind of remarkable. So it is not that we don't have... The perfumes don't always block it. Now, there are people who find volatile substances, and let me tell you how volatile perfume is. Perfume is so volatile that it is created to linger for a long, long time. Mind you, you put perfume on, you want to be able to smell like that for a long period of time. So the more expensive the perfume, the more expensive the ingredients, the longer the perfume lasts on your body. So people who use cheap perfume, the perfume comes on, you smell it at the beginning, it kind of disappears. What it leaves in its place, though, is not necessarily an agreeable smell. So the whole idea of perfume and working with perfumes and what kind of perfumes are better for people than others, there are people who have an absolute absolute allergy and aversion to perfume. Some of you may be like that. If you have a compromised breathing system, in many ways, you know, even if you have claustrophobia, which may suggest a compromised breathing system, that, you know, very often you could find even the smell of perfume invasive. I know a couple of people who find the smell of perfume so invasive that they tell people, if you're going to wear that, don't come in here, because I just can't take it. Other people in the morning, you know, husband wakes up with his wife sprays herself with perfume getting ready for the day. He may still be asleep while he's sleeping. He doesn't have the normal defenses against it. It could be alarming to his breathing system. So when you're putting on perfume or when you're spraying anything, be aware that this volatile substance is meant to reach as far as possible. When you spray aerosol, which we've learned about how it damages the ozone layer, but when you spray anything, including just a squeeze spray, that volatility of that substance is lingering in the air. You have to be considerate of the effect it's going to have on the people walking under it. It pays not to spray glass cleaner like Windex and breathe it all day long like a lot of people do, people in the cleaning profession, right? They spray it, they breathe it, they spray it, they breathe it. They're breathing in bleach practically all day long and other substances like that. It's very powerful. So it's a consideration. It's a consideration, and perfume is not meant just to hide body smells. It's meant to complement them. 212-209-2950. The survey so far, by the way, rotting garbage, gasoline, and cigar smoke have some of the highest number of ratings so far in our survey. We're going to keep going. Maybe you can do the survey by coming over here. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeBille.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am talking to you.
All right. It may sound like I'm changing the subject, but I'm not. The smelliest thing in the whole world is the man I heard on TV last night who wants to send more troops to Iraq.
Yeah.
There is a smell in Washington. There is a smell all over this country. We are all guilty. We are letting them kill hundreds of thousands of Iraqis. What do we do about that smell?
You're certainly right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well mentioned. You know, it's very interesting, too. We're going to talk about skunks. Let me talk about a skunk for a minute. Not that there's any relationship to our current leaders. But, you know, when you smell the smell of a skunk, get ready for this. You are smelling point. Oh, 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 oh. That was 9 oh ohs, I hope. 7 milliliters of a chemical. It is such a tiny amount that the skunk gives off. A tiny, 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 tiny little. It releases it in its glands. Do you think that a skunk is sitting there with a bottle of this smell inside it? No, it's not. It just needs a tiny amount. So skunks can stink up the world. Not that you don't love skunks also. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand?
Yes.
Yes, you're talking about the skunks. That reminds me of years ago. We took a trip up to Pennsylvania, and we're staying a little bit higher, but down in the valley where the mall was, there was a skunk that was killed up on the upper road. It was a cloudy type of cap on the weather. It's summertime, it's very muggy and cloudy. And that skunk smell just stayed in the mall. And it, but nevertheless, there were a lot of people shopping. But there were a lot of complaints about that odor that lingered in the air for the whole weekend.
Well, what do you think it was? I mean, what do you think it is about skunk smell that's so bad?
I would say it's the, I think a skunk has gotten used to his, there's something that allows the nose to accept these odors. Like you look at homeless people in the subway, a person that showers every day, and they go in the subway and they see a homeless person that's been that way for a while, unfortunately, bless them, but their smell, they seem to have a way of adjusting to the odor of their environment.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty significant, because a lot of, like what you were talking about before with the perfumes and the cleaning agents and stuff like that, has there any studies been done on the ability of smells to enter permeate the blood-brain barrier?
Yes.
So this could have some damaging effects,
constructive effects.
Or therapeutic, yes.
Yeah, or therapeutic effects. You know, we can't only assume it's bad.
No. I mean, that would be actually, that's what some of these chemicals could be causing us to do, to look at things in a negative light with depressions and all kinds of things that weigh on the physicality, also on the emotions. There's a physical attack that goes on with the effects of pollutants. And a pollutant can be something that we just use too much of. It could be good, but maybe you use too much, a strawberry spray.
How about the person you love?
The person I love, it's some, you know, that's very interesting.
I know, I hear her. I hear her somewhere around here.
No, she's out. But
I hear her in your voice.
Yeah.
I hear that you're talking, you're addressing me about that as well.
Well, that could be, because, she sprays. I would be laying down. She would be getting ready to go to work, and she would spray a perfume. And it would be in the morning. That would electrocute me. I mean, that would go right through me. Like, bam! Do you have to spray that stuff right in the room, because it stays? I said maybe later on when I wake up, I'm better able to deal with it. But in the morning like that, it's like it just seems like it's not those kind of scents to be bombarding you. I want to wake up like. With a soft
yeah, but
smell.
Do you understand what's going on here is you have a sensitivity that she's not responsible for.
Right.
And the fact that you have this sensitivity doesn't mean she's wrong for what she does.
That's true.
So she shouldn't be sensitive to your sensitivity, but the opinion that we have when we have this reaction, like, you know, it's like I was walking across, our office is on 57th Street, I was walking across 59th Street, and there's the horse and carriages, which I have great objection to anyway because the way they treat the horses.
Yes.
And there's horse manure everywhere. And so right there on Central Park South, where people pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for their apartments.
That's right.
And rent, you smell horse manure all the time. And I find the smell offensive until somebody once came and broke it down to me chemically and said, this is what you're smelling. But you see, my objection to it is to say, I can't stand that smell. But in all truth, that's only my preference. To a farmer, it's not a bad smell. In fact, it's a good smell.
That's true.
To a farmer.
That's
you know?
Very true.
Thank you. So with your wife, with your lady, I say to you, appreciate that she wants to smell so good for you.
That's beautiful,
and
yeah.
Talk to her about it and say, could you put it on a cloth and put it on your body, you know, as opposed to spraying it in the room, because I think I may just be reacting to it. And then ask her how she likes your smell. Did she ever tell you how she likes the smell of your body?
No.
Oh, you got to find out.
Yes.
See if you could ask her to describe in one phrase the smell of your body.
That's
in words. I want her to do it in an expression. So she could say, just whatever it is, just an expression.
Yeah, because that goes deeper than words.
That's right.
That goes to the primality of it, if that's a word, the primality of a human condition. I mean, we have a very earthy, natural thing that goes on with us, but society is kind of molded
over.
She
loves your smell. Let me tell you this. She would, if she could turn your smell into a perfume, she'd carry it with her all the time. I promise you.
That's nice.
Go find out.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
You have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Hey, look at this. Rogerio from Quebec, Canada, one of our listeners, Rogerio Prado. I want to thank you, Rogerio, because Rogerio said something unique. You know what his favorite smells are? Asphalt, gasoline, kerosene. Right? That's what he likes. And you know what he hates? Baby powder. strong perfume, and old clothing. Now, that's a very unique thing. You see, now you talk about learned aversions. Baby powder. Some parents, some people use baby powder so freely that you suffocate a child with it sometimes. Sometimes a child can't breathe. And so the child develops an aversion to the smell of baby powder, which is talc, and talc could easily be something that could irritate the lungs badly, you know. And so it's kind of fascinating, you know, strong perfumes will do the same thing. So Rogerio probably has a very sensitive smeller. But look at that, he likes gasoline, he likes asphalt. Asphalt, what's the smell of asphalt? Oh, tar. God bless you. It's good, because it's good to know this, you know, because we, in doing our survey here, I see many people have listed on one side what other people, nobody said they love the smell of rotting garbage. The majority of people, 80%, listed rotting garbage as one of their worst smells. Now, that's kind of interesting, because rotting garbage is a fascinating thing. Why would we have such an aversion to rotting garbage? The smell of rotting garbage. And it's a good thing. You see, rotting garbage, in a way, breaks down. And when it breaks down, it smells a little like death itself, like a dead body. It's a warning sign. The chemicals that come off rotting garbage are a warning sign that something is wrong here. And I think humans developed an aversion to the smell of death. And the aversion is, I think, what the skunks use. I think that's part of the skunk smell. It's a smell that turns you away to make you think, you know, humans, somebody's died here, so maybe we shouldn't go in this neighborhood. So it's a natural aversion, certain things, but other people have listed high on the list of smells we don't like, cooking cabbage, death, disliked, cigars, tremendous, because again, we talk about volatile substances, cigar smoke is one of those substances, so is cigarette smoke, that weaves and wafts its way through the air. And, you know, somebody could be smoking all the way down the block and you could smell it. And, of course, way back when, before they rolled cigarettes into paper, when it was just tobacco and pipes, it wasn't as offensive. But the combination of the paper plus the tobacco plus the chemicals they put in the tobacco to make it addictive get to a point where they could be extremely offensive. Lavender is a preferred smell. Roses, menthol. My dog. Of course, my dog. Don't you love the smell of my dog? Your dog? Smell, Tibetan doctor used to smell, he uses his smell in diagnosing illness. Yes, this is true. I know somebody, a Tibetan doctor. Wonderful if this information is not used because of the high degree of dissmell in our culture. So smell information, yes, there is a great deal, thank you. We'll even go further in this. We can even take one more call, 212-209-2900. Let me take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Amon. Interesting program. I want to thank the first caller in particular, because I think that is the most prominent smell or the strongest smell, and it's the kind of smell that includes the smells of Guantanamo, you know, the torture smell of people being left in their feces, and, you know, so I think that's the smell. And it's a smell, Armand, that brings a smell of anxiety to all of us, because I've been thinking about this feeling that one has of anxiety, because we seem to be moving toward a catastrophe.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, you got to be grateful for the smell of one thing, and that's the smell of the station. Because this station will continue with you to voice its opinion against this kind of thing. You know, they try to do away with us a number of times. And thanks to you and people like you, it keeps us a nose above.
Hey, that's great. Now, one last thing. I don't often get down to, Ground Zero by the former towers there, but about a year or so ago, I was walked through that area, and I wasn't, I wasn't there when I wasn't in the city when it happened, but the smell that I still smell down there assaulted me. I mean, you know, it's like nobody's, as they're building, nobody's thinking about any type of a treatment, you know, like an ozonate.
Maybe it's better we don't have that treatment, you know what I mean? Maybe it's better
It smells very, very bad.
I know, and maybe it's a good reminder for a lot of things about why it smells bad. You know, maybe that's the way it's meant to be. I mean, it's meant to be a, I don't know what they're going to do, but the memorial to death is a memorial to death sometimes. So thank you for calling in. I hear you.
Thank you.
You know, I love this. This is from one of our listeners, AA. I won't say her name. She said she went out with a guy for half a year who broke up with her. She was crazy about him, but he broke up with him because he said, I can't stand your smell. He says, I don't like the way you smell. I'm sorry. I tried to get over it, and she broke up with him. She couldn't stand it. She was devastated. Then she met another guy, and this fella claims he loves the way I smell, and he keeps smelling her all the time. Unfortunately, he had the faint smell of cigars on him, and she found that yucky, so she couldn't be with him. She's so turned off by men who wear aftershave, and so she's got a real, it's a smell life, you know? It's amazing. I mean, if somebody says to you, I don't like the way you smell, you know, it may not be an insult. Fresh cut wood, amber, huh? How about fresh fruits and vegetables? Body odor. Now, you know, body odor can be offensive and not offensive. Body odor could be wonderful, right? Body odor of somebody you're in love with, masculine kind of smell, that kind of body odor, could be great. Or feminine smell is body odor as well, could be great. Here's somebody, the smell of sex. Well, I'm not going to go too far into it, but, you know, there is a smell of sex. And you can't find the smell of sex offensive if you're in the middle of it, you know? I know people who refuse to wash after making love because they just want to keep smelling this all day long. It makes so much sense. Then I know other people who make love. I remember this was a Sex in the City chapter once. Guy jumps up and runs into the shower as soon as he has an orgasm. He's got to go into the shower and wash himself. What would that be like? Because, you know, when you lay and you hug your honey, you should pardon the expression, you're hugging the person you're with after making love. Part of what takes place is your skin transpires. You perspire and then you pass this back and forth between each other. You hold each other, hopefully, you know. And this beautiful thing that takes place includes the exchange of smells. It's like, here's a little of mine, give me a little of yours. So that's a beautiful thing. If you're one of these people who say, let me get rid of you immediately, you know, you're saying something. Okay, maybe that's the way you like it. Wet mangy dogs. Yes, wet mangy dogs did have a list. It was voted 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 people said they don't like that smell. There must be something about that smell. And babies. You know, if you have babies, do you like the smell of your babies? Do you like the smell of all babies? Do you really? You like the smell of all babies if you have babies. But if you don't have babies, you very often don't like the smell of babies. That's a fascinating new bunch of research. Okay, jasmine, sterling roses, musk gets another great vote. I think it says liars. Liars. Rodents, you know, I don't know if that's rodents that you smell, by the way. It may be dead rodents that you smell. Vanilla and cinnamon got the highest votes. Vanilla, cinnamon, but everything dead, you know, regurgitation, you know, people who get sick, you know, that stuff. That's 212-209-2900. We've got a chance. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand Mill.
Hi, Armand. Hi there. Teresa. And I have a pretty good sense of smell, and I've always enjoyed being able to have a highly sensitive nose. But I noticed that as I'm getting a migraine, my sense of smell sometimes turns against things that I usually like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of the most fascinating things I've studied is about migraine. So I understand migraine and the aura.
Buttered popcorn, for some reason, is one that I just can't stand to smell as it's coming on. But I enjoy buttered popcorn.
No, you love buttered popcorn. And, but you'll have it at other times. I've got to find that correlation. There is a correlation here between buttered popcorn and migraines. This is no minor thing you're saying. What other smells do you hate when you're migraining?
I guess maybe bacon, which I'm a big fan of bacon.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, have you gotten control of your migraines, by the way?
I've been a migraine sufferer since I was 11, so I've learned my triggers, and I've been able to ward them off pretty well.
And how do you ward them off? How often do you have migraines?
I just maintain drinking lots of water. I don't wait too long between meals. I breathe properly.
And how often will you get a migraine? Once a month, roughly?
At this point in my life, very rarely. Maybe like 4 times a year.
Oh, good work. Like good work. It takes work to get that. Yes, that's very interesting about what happens in the perceptual field, huh? So congratulations on
having
had control of it, and thanks for that contribution. I'm going to check that out further, you know. Some people who wrote to us said, you know, I can't stand it. I love this man, but I can't stand his smell. That's really a tough thing. 212-209-2900, let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello there.
Armand.
Yes.
I'm Ed from Long Island.
Hi there, Ed.
Okay. Listen, you know the old saying, you are what you eat.
Uh-huh.
It cannot be applied to smell.
Yes, in other words, what you eat is what you smell like very often, frequently, certainly garlic for sure. Huh? You eat garlic, it's going to be coming out of your bones. You know the amazing thing about garlic? People don't know this, that the whole myth about garlic and parsley is not a myth. If you eat garlic and you smell like garlic, you don't want to walk around this planet because it's unfair. I know people who take a lot of garlic for health reasons, and then they walk around reeking of garlic. I knew a psychiatrist who people used to walk into his office and he reeked of garlic, and they would make funny faces at him. Mind you, he's a psychiatrist seeing people make funny faces at him. He would say there's something wrong with them because they're making funny faces. What he didn't know is they're making funny faces because he reeked of garlic. He ate like 15 cloves a day. But garlic you could undo with parsley if you eat a lot of parsley following garlic in the stomach. It balances it out and boom, it goes away. Parsley pills actually work. So you are, yes, you are what you eat, and you smell like what you eat very often. But then one would imagine if you ate some flowers, you'd smell pretty, you know? That doesn't always work. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Unfortunately, our time has gone. Oh, I wish it hadn't gone. It's going to be a month before I talk to any of you again. You can still email me, armand@thepositivemind.com, if you want to tell me about your preferences with good smells and bad smells. I will be back with you on Tuesday. We won't be taking phone calls from there on. We will be presenting you information. Be sure to stay tuned for me. Be sure to stay tuned for Hugh Hamilton, who follows us with his incredible programming as well. I think Hugh does a great job. The Tuesday following that, you know, we're going to be on with Majid Ali from 11 to 2. Go to thepositivemind.com and you can keep track of all of this stuff going on. Or go to WBAI.org. Learn about this incredible station that we're all a part of. I'll be back with you then, my friends. This is Armand DeMille. It's a pleasure being with you.